Hello, my name is Ed Frawley, and of course I own Learburg. 2 weeks ago, I went to a police canine certification being done by my friend Kevin Sheldahl in Green Bay, Wisconsin. There were about 35 or 40 police canine teams there. Kevin arranged to have a presentation done by Dr. Lisa Converse. Dr. Converse teaches trauma medicine at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and two other universities. She and her friends started a nonprofit organization called OPK9. These folks go around and teach trauma medicine to police canine handlers, and it's nonprofit. We put the entire presentation in the detector dog course that I did with Kevin Sheldahl about a year ago, year and a half ago. And we're also going to release it on YouTube because there were a lot of parts to this presentation that every pet owner should know. For example, Dr. Connors is going to talk about why you shouldn't give your dog grapes, why you shouldn't give your dog dark chocolate. Did you know you should not be giving your dog peanut butter and why? She talks about when you should induce your dog to throw up, to vomit, and when you shouldn't. There are times that you should not induce vomiting. You should take your dog to the vet. These are the kinds of things that I'm going to put in this video. But if you like what you see here, we also put the whole presentation on YouTube, but it's a little long. In the world today, the population today is losing their ability to focus for long periods of time. That's because YouTube has shorts. That's because of TikTok and all these other things. So that's why I'm breaking this down. If you'd like to see Dr. Lisa's entire talk, we put it in a video on our YouTube, Learburg YouTube channel. So with no further ado, I'm going to let you hear what Dr. Converse has to say because it's really, really good.
Induction of vomiting. So getting stuff out of the stomach. We talk about all the ways to induce vomiting. Hydrogen peroxide, those of you who've heard me talk have heard me say that. And it has to be 3% hydrogen peroxide. If for some reason you don't have your eye drop, just know that if you give hydrogen peroxide, please, please, please double check the bottle that it says 3%. A lot of hairstylists use higher hydrogen peroxide, higher percentage. I've seen 10%, 13%, 40%. If you mistakenly give your dog 40% hydrogen peroxide, it is a dead dog. Hydrogen peroxide destroys tissue. It doesn't distinguish between bad tissue and healthy tissue. It will erode away the lining of the esophagus and the stomach. With 3% hydrogen peroxide, we see about 25% of dogs get bloody vomiting afterwards, and they need to be hospitalized until that heals. So that's the disadvantage of hydrogen peroxide. Okay, so some of the other things, I'm just gonna go over household foods really quick. It gets kind of boring if I just list stuff, but I think it's just stuff that you should be aware about. Grapes and raisins, highly, highly toxic. Don't feed grapes as treats. Years ago when we started discovering a lot of these dogs went into kidney failure, and we're talking kidney failure we can't reverse. They have just in the past couple months identified the toxin in grapes and raisins. It's cream of tartar. So if you also make something with cream of tartar at home, but it converts to tartaric acid, which is in the grape. That's the toxic component. So dogs don't metabolize it, humans do, and causes kidney failure for dogs. So that's, again, all of these, if you know they ate it, induce vomiting. That's where we're gonna start, and you're gonna minimize a lot of things that can happen. Chocolate toxicity, real thing. I'll go over that a little bit more. The life-threatening component of chocolate is it causes seizures and really high heart rates. They get arrhythmias and they can die. So we take chocolate pretty seriously, but there is a dose that I'll show you as well. Xylitol is the sweetener that's in a lot of things. If some of you feed peanut butter to your dogs, a lot of people have gotten on the, I want all natural, I want the foofy peanut butter. If you look at the back, many peanut butters out there have xylitol in it. Just feed Jif. Get something like, very simple, Jif peanut butter, good peanut butter. Some of the other fancier peanut butters, you're actually really doing harm by giving to your dog.
And if you see birch bark listed anywhere, that's a way that food companies can call xylitol something else. But that's also xylitol, so just be aware of that.
And then onions, leeks, all that kind of stuff, also toxic to your dog. It can actually destroy their red blood cells, so they get anemic within a few days. So induce vomiting as soon as you can, transport to a veterinarian. All right, here's the exception that we do not induce vomiting. Bob, would you like to explain?
Yeah, those
are my pictures. So we don't induce vomiting with yeast or bread dough. So anything that contains yeast, this was Bob's house from his dog. You called us a little bit later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what happens with yeast and bread dough is it rises in the stomach after time. So once it mixes with stomach acid, it'll rise in the stomach and it turns into this giant ball of dough. So if you wait too long, they need surgery. If you do it in a timely fashion, Bob got really lucky. There were two buckets of yeast and bread dough. That's what they got out of the stomach.
Well, the yeast, Lisa, was in the other time this happened. This one.
Oh, this has happened to him twice.
This was the Costco stuff, did not have yeast.
Ah.
He ate 8 pounds of it, so.
Yeah.
She's only 38 pounds.
It did have a leveling agent in it. This was the Kirkland brand. So I looked it up and sent it to your veterinarian before you even got there. So it isn't yeast and it's not activated live yeast, but if there was a leveling agent.
We just told you to stop making pancakes.
You don't
pizza dough balls had yeast in it. Whatever, we were good. I'm glad I had you guys.
Anyway, if they have yeast or bread dough, just don't induce vomiting.
Pat was raising 12 cinnamon rolls. They weren't fully raised. Dog got in, who made all 12, she ate all 12, but I induced vomiting immediately, and she puked.
That's what you're supposed to do. If you do it immediately, yes. Very good.
You see it, then you can do it.
Yeah.
We did not cook.
Yeah.
You can just rinse them off 5 second rule.
I think we could
have. Understand with chocolate, there's a type of chocolate, so obviously white chocolate is the least toxic. It does not have the toxic component into it, so if they eat white chocolate, besides just getting some vomiting and diarrhea, they're going to be fine. Milk chocolate, so they can essentially get an ounce per pound. So if you have a 70-pound dog and they eat 70 ounces of chocolate, I mean, that's getting a little bit close to the toxicity range, so I'd probably still have you induce vomiting because they're going to just feel really, really sick if they eat 70 ounces of chocolate. But if you get sweet cocoa or dark chocolate, that's where it gets really bad. Because really, they can only eat about an ounce per 10 pounds. So many times with the higher concentrated chocolates, we have you induce vomiting. Okay, so it matters. It matters what they eat. A lot of times they'll just, especially Halloween and Easter are just a nightmare for chocolate toxicity. That's chocolate vomit.
That's Valentine's Day.
Oh, that was Valentine's.
That was chocolate.
Yeah. We just see it. We see a lot of this, and so sometimes we worry more about the packaging than anything because it gets balled up in their stomach. This was a good little this was a good gum toxicity. A lot of our gum xylitol dogs, they don't survive. So I was really surprised. This little Pomeranian, it's the black Pomeranian in back. The owners were so excited, they sent us these pictures afterwards. His name was Frankie. He got into the owner's purse. She left the purse on the ground and the purse had gum. We'll see them get into it with kids' backpacks too, because sometimes kids will hide sweets. And if they're hiding sweets in their room, the dogs oftentimes find them. So this is where we get into trouble. So Frankie came in, had way over his little toxic dose of gum. He had really low blood sugar, his heart rate was super high, liver values were elevated, and a lot of times when they already have liver toxicity, that's where it becomes difficult. Are they going to survive? Are they not going to survive? He spent a lot of days in the hospital and ended up going home. So Frankie lived. They were very, very happy, and he went home on Valentine's Day. That's right. I forgot about that. So yeah, so that's one of the good stories that we see, but the owners were really, really on it. When not to induce vomiting. Obviously, if they have ingested something and you're worried about it, inducing vomiting after 4 hours is pretty much a moot point. It's already been absorbed. Things are already moving through the stomach. The stomach empties pretty quickly. If they swallowed a sharp object, we don't want to induce vomiting with that. We've seen dogs swallow knives, spoons, skewer sticks. Skewer sticks are a big one that they'll swallow whole. So that's not a time we want to induce vomiting. I'm going to bring up a few others as we kind of go along here. Activated charcoal. Many of you, when you got your initial kit from Vestadog, there was a tube in there of activated charcoal. It's great in theory, but I would say the many, many toxins and things that your dogs eat do not bind to activated charcoal. So we've kind of stopped talking about it and just told you to take it out of your kits, because you really don't want to give activated charcoal unless it's a toxin that can actually bind it. Otherwise, we're just giving them a bunch of activated charcoal that's going to give them diarrhea, and it's not going to even work anyway. So that's when you have to either contact us if you even have activated charcoal. I'm not recommending that any of you get it, quite frankly, because there's very few toxins that it'll work with.